the blessings of the Lord are real and rich. And we're going to look to him and ask him that he would once again anoint his word and give us the words that we might say and might be anointed by his spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask you, Lord, for that anointing that breaks the yoke as we preach and minister your word, God, that you might anoint it, that it lift our spirit, it touch hearts, change lives. And we're in to the end of this message will go to the airwaves and throughout the world, that God, men and women will be touched by it and be uplifted by thy spirit in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Ever since we come to the worship center, the Lord has dealt with me to preach the word, to really take verse and chapter and do a lot of teaching, and a lot of the message has been more teaching message. I'm kind of an evangelist at heart, and you know, that's what I like to preach in an evangelistic way, but there's times for that, and there's times that we must be obedient to what God wants in teaching and different things. Our teaching that we have every day on the radio, it's on at most of the stations receive it a little bit after 10, and then again at a little bit after 8 of the nighttime version of it. And we're doing a teaching that's all teaching. I've tried not to preach the first time on not one of them, and we've done already getting into several hundred of them, I think, and we've tried to do teaching on them, and I've enjoyed doing them, and I've enjoyed the teachings that the Lord's been dealing with me, and he lets me break free every once in a while and just preach a message, and I love to do that. But this one today is one of those that you could preach a week's revival out of it, but it's something, it's a very important fact that we need to know. It's got a lot of Bible knowledge in it, but it's also got a lot of understanding that we need to apply to our daily lives. And I had this thought as I was looking over some more scriptures today, and I'd worked on this yesterday. I'd done some teaching up at the studio, and I'd worked on this thought, and come in today early when I left the studio to come here for the service. I went back in the office, and I had this thought. So many people think that the anointing of God is only for the preachers. And I really believe that. I believe there's a lot of people that think that that's something that's an exclusive for the preachers. Well, now, if you're a Bible teacher, you know that you have to have the anointing of God to teach. But I have found the anointing of God to apply to every aspect of our life. The anointing of God is an unction that cometh from God. A lot of time it's an ability that God gives us, an ability to know something or understand something that we normally wouldn't in the natural man. But also God anoints the efforts of our life. God anoints, we've been going through, you know, with the point here of the church, and we had a lot of legal stuff, and we're still up to our eyeballs and getting all that done. And then we want to have the parsonage that's next door here, and I just really feel in my spirit that it would work with the overall plan of what we're going to do here. And so me and my wife is going to finance that ourselves. The church is going to help with it, but we're going to actually finance and take on the responsibility of the loan. And we have went through several banks that just, you know, it just wouldn't work. They couldn't get it together with it. You know, they said this excuse or that excuse. Well, I made a phone call one day, and with just in a few minutes, my computer, I went in here, got all these emails, and I got two or three different calls. Well, about the third, maybe the fourth call, it caught my attention. This guy on the other end, he was saying, praise the Lord. He was mentioning the Lord's name in every few statements he made. And he said, can I be of help to you? I understand you're trying to get a loan to buy a parsonage or a home. And I said, that's correct. And he said, well, praise the Lord. That's what I specialize in. Well, there again, it went through several hurdles. It went through some paperwork they had to get from the government to confirm incomes, and that got mixed up and lost and, you know, held up for 2 or 3 weeks extra, and he just kept working at it. Well, we kept praying, and we would pray. Well, it come up against a hurdle of the underwriters. You know, we got all this government stuff now, and the government is looking down with people with, you know, they taking, as old saying goes, I carry a magnifying glass that was my dad, and he gave it to me. And this magnifying glass, they're taking everything that anything to do with any kind of loan and putting it under a big magnifying glass and trying to find every reason they can not to do it. Well, the underwriters had kicked it out in 2 or 3 other banks, and one of the local banks I talked to, their underwriters had kicked it out. Well, we really felt down in our spirit that this is God's will and what God wanted us to do. And, you know, we was pressing on into it. So the other day, we come up against the same situation with underwriters. Well, that guy got on the phone with me, and he said, listen, we're going to get this thing through. And I said, praise God for a good Christian businessman and banker that's willing to not take no for an answer and work this thing out. He said, you give me just a couple more days. He said, you give me 2 more days. He said, in the name of Jesus, we're going to put this thing through. And I said, I'm going to agree with you. The Bible says if any two shall agree touching anything, God's going to do it. So when we come in agreement, there was an anointing come upon the situation. And 2 days from that, at the close of the second day, he fired to me the proposal saying that the loan had been approved and the underwriters was going to accept it. Now, me and Suzanne spent several hours getting more paperwork together to substantiate so that they could put it in their files of stating why they made this loan and why it was an acceptable loan. And we had to, you know, go through some hurdles to prove that. But what I'm trying to say, without the anointing of God, that thing would have never worked in 1,000,000 years. It would just never work. It was not going to work because the banks are not wanting to loan money. They're wanting somebody that's got every situation in perfect. They said I had plenty of assets, I had plenty bank score and all that, but I didn't have this much income. I give my salary back to the ministry, and I've give it back for 30 years. And when you try to put that on paper, no, boy, it's a problem, you know. But this bank was willing, because the anointing that come in the situation, was willing to take a look at that and say, well, hey, this guy's paying all of his bills, and he's not taking that salary, but we've got a guarantee here that says if he needs it, he's got it. That makes him a better risk than if he didn't have it. Well, all the rest of the underwriters would just come up and say, well, if he don't have a W-2 form to prove it, we can't accept it. Well, they found a way around it. Now, like I say, we had, and the documents are probably about 5 inches tall, several hundred of them, we've had to submit to that bank to make this thing happen. Well, the anointing is what breaks the yoke. Amen. And the anointing is what gets job done. That's how we're in this worship center here. That's how we're doing the things we're doing. We move mountains by the anointing of God. First of all, you got to speak it. You got to have a vision. The Bible said without a vision, God's people will perish. And you've got to have a vision. And if you get a vision, wherein that you have got that vision to the place that you professing and speaking in existence the things that need to take place and the things that need to happen. You've got to envision something. You know, when I walked through this building the first time, I started envisioning things. Amen. When I walked over the land And, you know, I didn't even know the parsonage over was for sale. And here come a guy I knew, and he said, oh, are you buying that church? And I said, yes, I'm going to. Lord, help me, I'm going to. And he said to me, he said, well, listen, you need to go over and buy that parsonage. He said, you ought to see that thing inside. He said, that thing is a mansion. He said, you ought to go over and look at it. And so I walked around and I envisioned the things that we was going to have to attempt to do to make this thing a reality. Now, we've had to adjust some of them. You know, we've had different reasons to adjust some of them. And as we did this, we're speaking to those things that are not as though they were. Amen? As though they are. We're speaking to them in Jesus' name. We're envisioning them and we're speaking them. Amen. And we'll speak this building full. Amen. We've had some good crowds at singings, but we're going to have some good crowds at all the time, because we're going to keep speaking in Jesus' name. We're going to keep envisioning, and the anointing of God is going to come and come on that which we're speaking that we have envisioned. Amen. Amen. And it works the same way in your life. Amen? Amen. Sister Linda, her old car got lapidated and she needed a new one. So we spoke her, amen, we spoke amen vision that God would give her, amen. And it took a good Christian businessman that was able to put it together and make it happen. Amen. God is a good God. But you have to have a vision of what you're going to do. You can sit in your rut if you want to. You can sit on the side of the road broke down if you want to. But you got to get up and speak in Jesus' name and speak to the elements of this earth. Amen. And speak to those things. Amen. And decree them and declare them. Amen. And you'll see things start happening. So what I want to say to you today is make sure you understand the anointing is not just for the preacher to go to the pulpit and preach. The anointing is to bring about the things in your life that you need, and God, he knows how to take care of you, and he's going to take care of you. Amen. And he does it through his anointing by his Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm going to cover a good bit of scripture today, because I want to scotch this real good. I want to talk about Elisha's double portion out of 2 Kings, and that's a very popular section of scripture. Many of you may be aware of it and familiar with it, but Elisha's double portion. And I want to ask you this question: what are you doing with the mantle that God has allowed to be on your life or allowed to be available for you? What are you doing with it? And I want to explain and show you what Elisha did with his mantle. Now, you know, my dad, I think about this a whole lot. My dad died this past year, and they offered me the giving to me. The government gives a flag to, my dad was a veteran, a flag to the elder son. And, you know, I could have received it, and I did receive it, but I won my sister's, be my nephew, I won her son. He was a military person. I was never in the military. It was during the time that I had three kids, and they wasn't drafting people and wasn't even taking people in that had three kids. So I was never in Vietnam, never in the military, and I thank God that I wasn't. But then again, if I'd have been asked to go, I would not have shunned it. I would have went. I wouldn't have been a draft dodger. I'd have went. But the lady in our church, she told me, she said, you're not going to ever be called up. She's head of the draft board. She said, you're not going to be called up because they're not taking people that has three kids. They're just not going to do it. They did get to the point that was taking some married men, but they wasn't taking them. Even if they had one child, they wouldn't even take them. And because they was what it was, there was so many being killed. And if you kill a single man, that's the end of it. They don't have to pay nobody. But if you kill a man that has a wife and he has three, four, five kids, they're going to have to pay for that the rest of the time. So they was wise. They was killing so many that during Vietnam that they was making sure they just sent people that didn't have to pay when they was killed. And they I know some people was talking, and they was telling them, and when they put them through training, they would tell them the ratio of how many of them was going to be killed and how many of them would not see American soil again, that they would die in Vietnam. And that was sad, but that was reality. But anyway, I never did have to go, so I really felt the flag would be better. It was in, you put them a lot of time in a case, and you put them up, and there's something is set on the mantle. Well, a lot of time people, and that's all right with the flag, that's a good thing to keep, but a lot of time people take the anointing of God kind of the same way. And you know, when this mantle fell off of Elijah, Elisha could have built him a case, took it home and set it up and said, oh, praise God, I've got Elijah's mantle. But if you don't use it, it ain't no good to you. Now, all the preaching I can do to you, all the teaching I can do, and all the anointing I can pray down on you is never going to merit you one thing if you don't apply it and if you don't use it. It's like faith. Faith will never do anything for you until you apply it. The Word of God will not do anything for you until you apply. You'll never get healed until you believe God is able to heal. His stripes was bore that you might be healed and delivered and set free. But unless you accept that and believe that and walk in it, you'll never know what healing is about. Amen? And some people say, well, God heals everybody but me. No, I don't believe that. God said whosoever will. The Bible said he's no respecter of person. Way down for one to do for the other. So don't ever let the devil say you that thing, well, God blesses everybody but me. No, you're included. Amen. Now then, in 2 Kings, and I want to cover a few verses, and then I want to go back after I cover a few verses in the first part of the chapter. In verse 8, it says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now this is the start of what took place. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. This is Elijah. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now then, if you understand here, this is something that must have been in Elisha's spirit, because Elijah told him, you know, if you see me, if you see me when I'm taken away, then it'll be so to you. But if you're not there, if you're not present, if you're not a part of my resurrection and you don't see it, then this thing is not going to be to you. See, it had a condition. And everything you find in the Word of God, there are conditions to receive the things of God. Amen. We got to do our part. It don't take a lot of faith to use what you got. But you got to exercise your faith. It's like the age-old argument as people says, well, God's already forgiven all sins for everybody. He did on Calvary. He's able to forgive. That blood is able to cleanse the vilest sinner and is able to forgive every man, woman, boy again, of their sins from the beginning to the end. But that is conditional if we will remit them. If we're stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and say, bless God, I don't have to repent, we're never going to get anywhere with God. We've got to be willing to remit our sins so God can cleanse them. So the things of God are conditional to what we're going to do about them. Now, we can't save ourselves. We can't work our way to heaven. We're saved by grace, not by works, but unto good works. But I've heard people say, well, I'll go and get my life straightened up and then I'll come get saved. No, you don't do it that way. You got to come to God, give him the mess, give him the, and he makes you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, this double portion was conditional to what the man of God Elijah said. But notice if we go back now, we're going back to the first part. We're up in verse 9 and verse 10, but now we're going to go back to verse 1 of that second chapter. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now then, notice, and I'm going to cover them real quickly, but notice in verse 2, Elijah said he was going to Bethel, and he had told that Elisha should tarry there. But what did Elisha say? He said, no, I'm going with you. There must have been something in Elisha that made him hunger and thirst after that anointing that was on Elijah. You'll never get the blessing of God without you hunger and thirst. He that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied. This thing is a conditional thing. You got to want it. God don't grab us by the nape of the neck. God don't say, I'm going to put my spirit in you where you want it or not. I'm going to cleanse you where you want it or not. But God makes it conditional. Do you want it? How much of God? If enough people wanted God, we couldn't get near this church house this afternoon. Amen. But they got to want God. And a lot of people's want to needs a lot of work. Amen. But notice in that verse 1 and verse 2, Elijah tried to get him to tarry, but he wouldn't do it. Now we go down into verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Now look where for the second time what Elisha said. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Now we go in the third time. Amen. And here he told him again in verse 6 for him to tarry. For he was going to Jordan. And he said, no, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Now notice this was the day, according to verse 2, verse 1 of chapter 2, this was the day he was going to be taken up. Prior to Elisha asking for the double portion, and prior to the statement wherein in verse 10 that he said, nevertheless, thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Amen. Then notice verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Thank God. Amen. He's going to get what he's looking for. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Verse 13, he went on to say, and took up also the mantle of Elijah and that fell from him and went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan. Now listen to verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Amen. And in verse 15, and when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah has rested on Elisha. And they came and met him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Man, there's a lot of preaching in that. My land, there's a lot of meat in that. Amen. Here is, I laid this thing out by the Spirit and by the Word of God. These three attempts of Elijah to shake Elisha off. But Elisha would not budge, and he stayed with him. And he stuck out for his double portion. And because he seen him when he went up, he received his double portion. Now then, I have made a list because it's too many to remember. I can about quote them all off to you, but I made a list of first of all, seven miracles of Elijah. I don't know where you've ever looked them up and studied them out, but this is the list of them. First of all, the drought in 1 Kings 17 and 1 and James 5 and 17. Meal and oil multiplied, 1 Kings Chapter 17, verse 14. Child restored to life, 1 Kings 17 and 22. Sacrifice consumed by fire, and that's on Mount Carmel, and we all know that by heart, in 1 Kings 18 and 38. Then captain and men slain by fire, and this is 2 Kings 1 and 10. And then it goes on to say, rain brought forth, 1 Kings 18 and 41. And then the water, we was on that earlier, the water of Jordan divided in 2 Kings in chapter 2 and verse 8. Now then, the man of God Elisha asked for a double portion of this thing. And I took you through it and read and showed you wherein that the man of God Elisha would not depart from Elijah, and Elisha stayed with him, and Elisha said, if you see me when I'm taken up, if you're with me, then you're going to be granted this double portion, and if not, you won't receive it. So he was there, and he received it. And verse number 14 of the second chapter of 2 Kings starts miracle number one. If you notice, Elijah had seven major categories of miracles, seven divine miracles that he did. Elisha asked for a double portion. God is a thorough God. God dots the I's and crosses the T's. Details are important to God. Amen. The number of barrels of water and the number of times was important for the fire to come down. For them to march around the walls of Jericho, it took the proper amount of time. It took shouting when God told them to shout. It took the details of what God wanted. Building the ark was based on detail. Throughout the Word of God, God is a detailed God. If you want to get somewhere in the kingdom of God, get in the book and get the details. Amen? And start walking in the details of God's Word and start obeying God and doing what God wants and what God says, and you'll see the miracles and the anointing. But that first miracle took place when he didn't take the mantle home and put it in a glass case to show everybody what he had, but he rent his clothes, grabbed up that mantle, went off there, and the first thing he done, he smote the Jordan waters, and they were separated, just like the man of God, Elijah, amen, had done. Now then, in 2 Kings chapter 2, and in verse 21, I think there we find the second major miracle. And this was the, I won't take the time to read it, take 30 minutes or more to read all these, but there in verse 21, the water sprang forth, there was a healing come forth from the waters. All right, now in down just a few verses down in verse 24 of Kings, the second Kings in the second chapter, these kids was mocking, and the man of God Elisha caused a bear to come up and tear them. Amen. But he tore them asunder. Then in 2 Kings in chapter 3 and in verse 16 through verse 20. It covers the understanding, the story of the water supplied, and that took place starting in verse 16, told the final fulfillment of it in verse 20. Then in verse 5 of chapter 4, the widow's oil was multiplied. Then in 2 Kings 4, 16 and 17, woman conceived and bore a son, which she, you know, she didn't, she said no, but the man of God spoke it, and the Bible said that she went forth and she conceived that wherein God had said in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bore a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. Now then, in 2 Kings in the 4th chapter, and I believe we would be in same chapter, be in verse 35. And it explains to us how that he raised a child to life. Amen. Verse 35, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Amen. Fulfilling the word of God and fulfilling the promise of God. And then in 2 Kings 4 and 41, and we find these words that it tells us that the partridge, amen. And here was the miracle, and it was deemed harmless and able to eat. Amen. Then in 2 Kings 4 and 43, and that is in the ninth miracle. And he went on to slay and again give the people, and they ate. For thus said the Lord, thou shalt eat and shall leave thereof. Amen. And they had abundance of being able, it was multiplied. Amen. We seen that one time in the pots multiplied at one of our tent crusades over at Galax, when we seen 50-some people fed out of a pot that wasn't hardly enough to feed the first 15. Amen. And the girl from Sea Level, North Carolina, hollered and gasped out and said, it's multiplying in the pot. As fast as I dip it out, it's coming up from the bottom. Amen. So we know God can multiply. Amen. And then in 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, and in verse 10, we find Naaman, and he was healed according to the word of God. Then in 2 Kings and in chapter, same chapter, chapter 5, and in verse 25 down through verse 27, here that Gezer, he was healed, he was totally made whole according to the word of God. Let me see. All right, now wait a minute. This is the man that was struck with leprosy. Amen. Naaman was one was healed, but the next one in 2 Kings 5 and 27 and 25 through 27, this was Gehazi. Gehazi. And this man was struck with leprosy according to the word of God. And then in the 6th chapter, in verse 3 through verse 7, that is when he calls the iron to swim. Amen. When the axe was thrown in the water and Elisha caused it, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down into 7, and he caused it to swim. Amen. And then when we go to the next one, that's number 12. And then we're going to go to number 13 miracle. And here, this is in 6 and 18. And he smote, according to this, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite the people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And that was the Syrians. Amen. Then in the 14th miracle, we come over in the word of God unto a lot of scriptures to this. In the 13th chapter of 2 Kings and in the 21st verse. Now this was after Elisha was dead. And I know the skeptic may come up and the skeptic may say, well, I don't count but 13. Well, God always is complete in what he says. Elisha asked for a double portion of what was on Elijah. And Elijah said, if you with me when I go up, you're going to be granted this. 13 had took place. Probably done forgotten. Nobody had counted them up. But some skeptic probably did. But anyway, down at the end, verse 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moab invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Listen to verse 21. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they said a band of men, and they cast the man unto the sepulchre. And Elisha, and when, this is the sepulchre of Elisha, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he received, or he was revived, according to the word of God, King James Version. He received his life restored back to him, but the word actually says he revived and stood up on his feet. Amen. So that's the 14th major miracle that God did for Elisha in the promise that he'd asked that he would receive a double portion. Now then, I think we've pled a pretty good case that the anointing of God is real. And God did what he said for Elisha, and he'll do what he said for you and I. So I ask the question again, what are you doing with the anointing that's available for your life? What are you doing with it? Now, I chose to do something about it. I chose when I was a young brethren preacher, and they told me I had a fresh new anointing, and it would go away because they said they had one and theirs went away. And I didn't have nobody write me the book to figure out they was right, because they was deader than last year's Christmas tree. And I'm not talking about the past one. I'm talking about the one before. Amen. They were dead. But I said, God, I want this thing to be real in my life. And 45 years later, the fire still burns. And the anointing is still available. I still have to follow after. Is Elisha followed after Elijah? I still have to follow out after the hem of his garment. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. You've got to follow after. You've got to continuously touch the hem of his garment and let God move. Let him give you souls for your labor. Set out this year, I'm going to win a soul. I'm going to win somebody. I'm going to allow the anointing to come through me. And I'm going to allow that same anointing that caused the man of God Elijah to perform 7 major miracles. And the man that received his double portion, Elisha, he done 14 major miracles, even to the point after he was dead, a dead man touched his bones and was revived and became alive and lived. God's real today, and he's real. What are you doing with your mantle is my question today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this message change lives. Let it touch hearts. Let the yoke be broken and let the anointing flow. God, give us victory, Lord, and we'll praise you and magnify you and glorify your name, for you are the great God, Jehovah. Amen and amen.